And Swamiji's answer was, he said, yes. He said, going in circles does give one a certain sense of accomplishment. The bigger the circle, the bigger the sense of accomplishment. And he just advised this thought that if I can just keep defining it and learning more and gathering more information, then somehow I'll find what I'm seeking in all that information gathering. And when the inspiration begins to wane in one field of study, well, I'll just rush over into another field of study. And the picture of just going in a big circle and just keep coming back to right where you started, because that what you're really seeking won't come there. And then he asked the other, also very revealing question. He said to Swamiji, what is the answer to doubt? What is the solution to doubt? Swami said, peace. The experience of peace is the solution to your doubts. Now, obviously, this man was trying to solve his doubts by gathering more information, and Swami was telling him, you'll never solve your doubts that way. You'll only solve them when you have an experience of a level beyond your doubts. Now, it's a catch-22 that people do get caught in, and, you know, the doubt, people who live in doubt live in a particular kind of hell. But it's one of those situations where you have to understand, you have to have the self-honesty and the faith, of course. It's, you know, this is again, it's the razor's edge, but you have to have the humility to listen to those who are wiser than you and accept that this way I'm trying to solve my problem is not going to solve it. And not make a dogma of what is really your delusion. And so if those who are guiding you, whom you may have reason to trust, say, just don't follow that path anymore, just meditate more, do more devotion, you know, do more kirtan, do more japa, do more service, you're just not going to get where you're going with that kind of constant, oh, but I will do it as soon as you solve these, as soon as you give me the answer to these next few questions. I've had on infrequent, but more than one occasion, had people in classes to whom I finally said, I'm really not going to answer any more of your questions. Because there was just no future in it. I would give them a good solid try, and then I would just say, I'm really not going to answer any more of your questions because it's not going to give you anything of what you're seeking. And I wouldn't be serving you by even pretending that it will by keeping on to answer. Now that's what Master calls here negative doubt. The kind of negative doubt that really isn't seeking answers but is seeking only just to keep the mind agitated because there's a fear of that state of peace which would actually solve the doubts. And so we have to be a little careful in our own minds, and you can hear it if you listen. And it's things like, before the answer is finished, you have another question. There was a woman in our community who's no longer with us many years ago. And she was just so good at that, that even while Swami would be giving her the answer, as Swami himself put it, she was formulating her next question. So she could never hear any of the answers that were offered. Her whole mental process was about her questions. It was never really about his answers. And so if your mind is going, but, even as the answer is being offered to you, you have to stop and ask yourself, am I really seeking answers? Do I really want to stop doubting, or is my real attachment just to being in this agitated state? And you see, sometimes that's because we're like Arjuna before we're entering in the battle. I was remembering an incident I had with someone many years ago, and Swamiji was writing one of his books at that time, and his habit has always been to share the manuscript with various people, and in this case it was a particular niche, particular subject, and so certain people who knew more about that subject were getting the manuscript, and one such person was calling me every evening because I was getting the chapters as he wrote them too, and she would raise the pettiest objections to what he was writing. I mean, just, I can't even remember examples, but just so small. It would be sort of like looking at this picture and saying, well, you know, I think because the K is like big there, I think it kind of hurts the meaning. Don't you think so? I mean, that kind of level, although we were really working with the words, but it was just that compared to the magnitude of what we were looking at, the objections were just impossible. And, you know, I'm facile enough to be able to kind of go where people are going and play it out. So we played it out for several nights, and finally I just had that sense of, this is crazy, because the woman is a friend of mine, It just, she raised some further objection to some paragraph, and just out of exasperation, I said, "What are we talking about?" Just like out of my own, actually it was God-inspired, because the way I said it just broke the thread, and she answered spontaneously. She said, "If he's not wrong, I'm going to have to do what he says." And I said, "Oh, we're talking about fear. It's very easy to talk about fear. Let's talk about fear. Let's not talk about this manuscript anymore. Because I can't stand to talk about the manuscript, because that's not what we're talking about. We're just talking about fear of really, like, you know, if he really is a wise teacher and I'm here in this ashram that he's founded, you know, somebody is going to actually break into my little self-enclosed world and I might have to give up some of my ego and go along." I mean, that's very, but it's very natural to be afraid of that. That's a very real thing. But see, we get this negative doubt cycle going, and we throw in a kind of whatever it is that we're good at. You know, in this case, this particular person had a lot to say about the subject, so she could always sort of pull out something to say about the subject. But that wasn't really what was happening. It was all a facade, like Arjuna's facade. "You're just afraid," Krishna said to Arjuna, "because this is really a battle to the death. This is you, Arjuna, representing willpower at the third chakra. This is the disciple really having to go in there and fight the forces of materiality, and they are going to get killed, and you're the only one who's going to be left. You're just going to have to do battle with your own tendencies, and there's no compromise. This is it." So Arjuna is throwing up all these reasons why maybe he shouldn't do this. And I always feel like if Arjuna could do that, it's okay for us. But just be honest about it. That's what I'm really doing. I just want to keep asking questions because I don't want to quiet down enough to have to really think, really deal with this. And so he makes a very strong distinction. It's very, very, very important, because we all fall into this at different times. And that's why a lot of times it's just better to be quiet. Just meditate, do japa. And that's why we'll say things like that, and people will think, "Oh, you just don't want me to think. You know, Swami just doesn't like people who ask questions." You know, people will say all sorts of crazy things, because sometimes people will raise their hands, have in the past, when he used to give more informal satsangs. He would respond so differently to people. You know, and every so often somebody would raise a hand and ask a question, and he would just cut them off at the knees, the way it appeared. But he was answering their question. He just wasn't answering the question they asked. He was answering the question that their soul was asking, which is, "How do I get out of delusion?" And he would essentially say, "Not by those questions you're asking," you know, by a completely different attitude. And other people whose questions were genuine, even though they might be just appallingly minute, nonetheless they were genuine. And he knew that if he gave them an answer, then we would go forward. I was talking to someone once who's been a friend for many years, and we've been through many hard things together. And she was sort of expressing sort of an apology for having been such a pill so many times. I didn't mind at all. I said, "You know, I don't mind at all, because we've never had to do the same thing twice." I mean, even if we, sometimes you have to do it twice, but I was trying to compliment her. You know, sure, you get yourself in a lot of pickles, but you don't do the same thing over and over. We're not just going in circles. We've always been progressing in a straight line. So who cares? You know, you can't help where you are. That's just what you have to realize. You can't help where you are. But you can act constructively from this point forward. How do you act constructively? Always, ever and again, through your awakened sons, the answer comes. You pick up the scripture, whether it's the Rubaiyat or whatever it is, you read what's there, and you believe it. You really listen to it. You don't throw your blind understanding back at it and say, "But..." You say, "Okay, I don't quite understand it, but I'm not going to posit my ignorance against it. I'm just going to stay with it until it goes deeper into me." It's a very, very important teaching. Okay. The mighty Mahmud, the victorious Lord, that all the misbelieving and black horde of fears and sorrows that infest the soul scatters and slays with his enchanted sword. The soul is stronger than all delusion. We mustn't ever forget it. Ignorance vanishes with the light. And life is a battle, folks. There's no way around it. And the last one. But leave the wise to wrangle, and with me the quarrel of the universe let be, and in some corner of the hubbub couched, make game of that which makes as much of thee. And this, the commentary tells us, it's just going to be an endless battle of light and dark. You might as well just consider it a good competition. And when, as Master says, when the karmic ball is thrown to you, then just toss it back with a joyous laugh instead of weeping and wailing and all that complaining. It's just going to be an endless show of ups and downs. Just an endless story of win and lose and success and disappointment and youth and old age and life and death. Just live in eternity and be free. That's what he wants us to do. Okay. Any other comments or questions? All right. That's it for tonight. We'll see you in 2 weeks. I'll see you before then, but we'll see you here doing this in 2 weeks. So we go from 46 to 60 next time. This hasn't been too much, has it, Rui? I certainly haven't found it so. Yeah, great.